Dad, you don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity, and I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. Many of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.
I love the last line of that video. You are teaching me how to live, Dad, whether you know it or not. It's true, isn't it? And fathers, we have an incredibly valuable and crucial task in our role as fathers, that God-given role that we have been granted. And all men, whether you're fathers or not, are reflectors of the image of God. And the question is what image about God are we reflecting to others in how we reflect God? And for some of us, the question might be, what does it really mean to be a man? I mean, a man that God wants. There's all kinds of definitions in the world about what a man is, and most of them are absolutely upside down as to what it really means to be a man who follows after God's own heart. So what does it really mean to be a man? A man who truly reflects God on this earth. Well, today we're going to tackle that question, and we're going to tackle it using a very short verse, but a very powerful verse. So you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16:13, and that's where we're going to be getting our text from today, and the scripture from God's Word. So 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." Now, what I'd like you to do is repeat each phrase after me, everybody here. So I'll say a phrase and you repeat it, okay? So 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." That's our call today for us. Today's message is going to be one that encourages and challenges us today as men to answer God's call on our life to be the man that He designed you to be, a man of valor, a man of nobility, a man of honor, of strength, of love, and of integrity, a man whose example may not change the whole world, but changes the world of the lives that he touches. And so today I'm speaking to all men, not just fathers in our midst. It's a privilege to be a father, but I'm speaking to every man who is here today. And ladies, just so you don't think that nothing pertains to you today, as I give these four challenges to the men, I want you to think about how these apply to your life. Being on the alert, standing firm in the faith, acting like people of courage, okay? With brave, and then to be strong in the role that God has called you to play in this life. Much of my thoughts today, based on this sermon, I've been thinking about this sermon for about a year and a half, so I'm pretty fired up about this. Come from Men's Fraternity and Robert Lewis, and I'm going to be talking about that throughout the sermon today. So let's dig in today to God's Word. God's Word gives us four challenges for being an authentic man. All right, men, are you ready? Men, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, you're with me. Good. The first challenge for us is this, to keep being on the alert. Now, I've used that before in our Revelation series, to wake up. If you're in the military, you've heard that before. It means wake up, be on your post, ready to go. And that's what God is calling us to, be on the alert. This word, to be on the alert, means to be watchful or vigilant. It's used 22 times in Scripture. Most of the times that it's used between two usages. First of all, to be alert for Christ's return. Over and over again in passages like Mark 13, Matthew 24, you see this word being, Jesus says, be ready. Be on the alert, watching for him, acting in a way that is pleasing to your commanding officer. That's what Jesus is saying. We're also told to be watchful and in prayer, like Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So keep your eyes out there. It's sort of like you're praying with one eye open, watching what's going on in the world, and then on the other way, you're praying about what's going on, okay, that God would have his way. It's also used one time in the context of being alert against the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, so be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, okay? So we are to always be on the alert. And each of these four challenges come in the sense of keep doing this. Don't let your guards down. Always be on the alert. Always stand firm in your faith. Always act like a man and always be strong. So we need to be, first of all, on the alert for ourselves. Men, we have to be on the alert for ourselves. And this goes for anybody, man or woman. The primary person responsible for your relationship with Christ is yourself. Not your mother, not your father, not your preacher. You are responsible, okay? So we need to be on alert for ourselves. We have to be ready to take responsibility for our own relationship with Christ. So I wrote these three things down, three areas in which men need to wake up. That word means to wake up and stand at attention. Three areas in which we as men need to wake up. The first two I'll do very quickly. The third one we'll just do a little bit more on. First one is, we need to wake up on our relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? We'll talk about that more in the second challenge. But we need to take that seriously and to be devoted to him, solely devoted to Christ. Second one I wrote down is this, an area where men need to wake up, and that is in our leadership at home. And we'll talk more about that. But guys, let me say something to you that some of your wives wish that you would hear. Okay, so for some of you ladies, I'm going to speak on your behalf for a moment. Some of your wives are crying out for you to lead in their homes. They're waiting, waiting, waiting. Some of them have even gone into the realm of nagging you to step up and lead. But they can't say anymore because nothing's happened. Women all across Christendom are crying out for their husbands to lead them. Take me somewhere. Give our family purpose. Why don't you initiate? There are a lot of women who are saying that, guys. Is that your wife? We'll talk more about that. Another area that men need to wake up is in our purity, in our holiness, walking with Christ, holiness of mind, holiness of eyes, holiness of speech. You see, because it's normal to be the bad boy. The world celebrates the bad boys, right? To tell dirty jokes at work. Hey, I got a good one for you today. That's normal. to have a wandering eye for other women. That's normal, guys, okay? But God is not calling us to be a man who's normal. God's calling us to be a man who's holy. God is not calling us to be men who are mediocre, but God's calling us to be men who are noble. And God's not calling us to be boys. He's calling us to be men. And there's a huge difference. We have to wake up in our purity. So that's for ourselves, okay? It has effects for other people. But here, what about for your family? Always being on the alert for your family. Let me ask you this. Who's leading your family? Is it you? Is it your wife? Is it the television? Is it some philosophy? Who's leading your family? Another question for us. Who's teaching your kids right from wrong? Because you and I both know, we went through high school, right? You and I both know that if we're not getting it from our parents, we're getting it from the locker room. Do you want your kids to be directed by the advice they get on life from the locker room? No. Have you stepped up and told your kids what is right and what is wrong and why it's right and what it's wrong, why it's wrong? Another thing here is, who's protecting your home from what comes in through the media? Television. Okay, there's the commercials now have upped the ante on filthiness. Do you take the remote and turn it off or turn it to another channel? Television, movies, internet, music. Those are vipers ready to just jump out and grab our children, okay? Do you have standards for these, men? For yourself, for your family? Are you communicating those standards to your family? Are you upholding them? Are you willing to be the bad guy in the family, meaning being not the friend of your child because you've told them, we're not watching that. But Dad, we're not watching it. Have you done that? Have you stepped up to the plate and done that? Ezekiel 3:17, God tells the prophet Ezekiel, he's a watchman over the house of Israel. He says, son of man, I've appointed you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. And men, we are the watchmen over our houses, of our households, okay? When God says, warn your family, do we have an ear sensitive enough to hear that and to warn our families, okay? We have to be on the alert. Too many men in our world are asleep at their post. We've got to wake up. Let's move on to the second challenge from God's word, and that is to keep standing firm in the faith. So for us as individuals, as we think about standing firm in the faith, have you embraced Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior and as your leader? Have you trusted him? There will not be a fundamental change of your heart until you trust Christ and receive the gift of his kindness. He died on the cross for your sins. He is the greatest man who ever lived. He's the Son of God. If you want to have victory in life and be the man that God called you to be, embrace Christ by faith. And you can do that in your own heart. Just calling out to God and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I know that I've gone the wrong ways. I've not lived my life the way that I'm supposed to. I'm sorry for that. I want to follow in your ways and to leave my ways behind. And when you trust Christ, that's a new beginning. You get a new heart. You're a new creation. And all that old junk from our past goes away, and the new person is inside of you, okay? And then God begins to scrub out our insides. Sometimes that takes a little longer than others, okay? But have you embraced Christ by faith? So if you have embraced Christ by faith, and you belong to him, here's a question for you. Do you know why you trust him? Have you studied? Have you solidified in your heart why you trust Jesus Christ? Or are you riding on the coattails of your wife's faith? Because in too many households, the wife is the initiator. The wife is the one who gets you to go to church. The wife is the one who initiates Bible reading or godly decisions. That's not her role, guys. And the reason she's doing is because you've abdicated it to her. Do you know why you believe? Are you initiating the spiritual life of your home? Do you know why the Bible is God's word? Or is it just something that sort of sits on the shelf at home? Do you know why God's way is the best way to live? If you've lived any longer in this world, long enough in this world, you realize that when you do things yourself, it just falls apart. When you do it God's way, there's blessings that come. And does God direct your actions and your mind at work, at home, at church, and most importantly, when you're alone? When you're alone, what type of a person are you like? So that's for ourselves. We got to stand firm in our faith. There's an enemy out there who wants to take us down. We have enemies within also, okay? Our sinful nature. We have got to be ready to stand firm against that. So what about for our families? Standing firm in our faith for our families. Men, our examples of faith in Christ are the greatest influencers on those around us, especially in a family. Maybe you've heard this statistic. I've heard it many times. I copied one version down this week. It says, when a mother trusts Christ apart from her husband, so the mom in the family becomes a believer, the husband has not, her family follows 17% of the time. When a dad becomes a Christian, the rest of the family follows 93% of the time. Why? Because God gave the role of the husband to be the leader in the home, in how he designed us and made us to be. We are leaders. And when we step out and say, we're following God, the family will follow. That's how God designed it. Okay? So for our families, we need to step up and be firm in our faith. So first of all, our example of faith is going to influence our families. But secondly, how we portray God is the image of God that our children get. Okay? So some of you out here who aren't married yet, young men, think about this going into marriage. Thinking about being your role as a father, if God blesses you with children in the future. Your example of God is the example of God that your children are going to get. So, if you are angry in your child's eyes, God is raging. If you are distant and uncaring, God is distant and uncaring. If you're gracious and loving and compassionate, God is gracious and loving and compassionate. If you discipline your children for their good, then God disciplines the children for their good. You see how little children will attach that. You are God to your children as the father. That's an incredible, incredible role that we have. What a privilege, but what a solemn and sobering task that we have. Okay? I've challenged you so far. But I want this message also to be encouraging. So God bless you, fathers, who are faithfully showing your families what God is truly like. Sometimes in life, men, we don't get enough pats on the back that we should, okay? Thank you. Thank you for showing your children what God is truly like through your godly example. And thank you, men, for being the same follower of Jesus Christ in private as you are in public. When you make decisions that are right, when nobody else is around and only you and God knows, way to go. Keep up the good work. God sees that. He'll bless you and honor you for that. I want you to be encouraged today. So we need to be on the alert. We need to keep standing firm in the faith. Here's our third challenge, and that is to keep acting like a man. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, the Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child and think like a child and reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Okay, he's using that as an example for a different context, but he's using the illustration of there is a division between when a person is a boy and when they become a man. But unfortunately, in our world and even in this church, we have a lot of boys walking around in men's clothing. And you don't understand what it means to grow up and to be the man that God has called you to be. So, right now I'd love to give you a definition of what it means, a biblical definition of what it means to be a man. And this is where I'm borrowing from the course called Men's Fraternity, which I'll tell you more about in a moment, and Robert Lewis. In this course, he gives us a compelling vision of what it means to be a biblical man, and there's four elements of that. Here's the first one. An authentic biblical man, first of all, rejects passivity. Let me explain this. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, there's a scene where Satan, in the form of the serpent, tempts Adam and Eve. Who does he go after? He goes around the structure of authority in the family. He goes to the woman, and who is standing right beside Eve and is absolutely silent? Adam. Reject passivity. Adam knew God's word. If he'd have stepped up and said, wait a minute, I'll handle this. God said, and the serpent would have fled at that particular point. And so when men abdicate their responsibilities to lead in the family and they're passive and indifferent, and I don't worry about that. I just let her take care of it. Heard that one before? I'll just let her take care of it. Okay? I'm not talking about dictatorial leadership here. I'm talking about servant leadership, but a man who steps up and takes his role in the family seriously. And this is why families are crumbling, because men have relinquished their responsibility as a leader by being passive, indifferent, and disengaged. Disengaged. They don't really care. That's not your role, guys, and me. We got to step up, okay? But I want to encourage you, okay? I want to encourage you. You men who are initiating a relationship with your wife, and you men who are engaged with your children, like on that video, they're out in the front yard and rolling around in the dirt. That's awesome. You are engaged in your role as a man. Way to go. The impact on your wife and the impact on your children and the impact on those watching is huge. You are taking your role responsible as a husband, as a father. So reject passivity. We're no longer going to retreat to the shadows. We're going to step out into the light and take charge. Secondly, on being authentic man, we need to accept responsibility. Not sure if you saw the article on the front page of Thursday's paper about fathers. It says that about 50% of fathers, or 50% of men aged 45 and under, have at least one child out of wedlock. That's not acting like a man. That's acting like a boy, where you don't take responsibility for your families. I realize that mistakes happen and God can forgive. Yes, but that's because we're not stepping up and acting responsibly, men, and doing what is right. We don't need more boys in this world. We need more men who will be directed by the higher calling of God rather than by their childish impulses. I just do what I want to do. I don't know. I didn't really think about it. I just did it. That's boyish. That's not being a man. But men, you who are making godly choices, I encourage you, keep it up. You're making right choices even when no one's watching, or even when you're the only one out there standing to make the right choice and everybody else is going the other way. Way to go. God wants you to be encouraged to do that. You're standing for what is right even when it's hard to do. That's being a man. Keep up your good work. I think of my friend Doug. I talked to him on the phone last night. And my friend Doug loves sports. He played college football, and he loves to be out and play with his company. His company has a flag football team. Well, back last fall, I was talking to Doug, and Doug has a beautiful wife and three little children. He's a real blessed man. He's a successful businessman. He's an up-and-coming young leader. And he was wanting to play flag football last fall. But thinking through all these things about what it means to be a man and take responsibility for your family, Doug said, I'm not going to play flag football this year. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be with my family. Small choice, but it's a huge choice. Because now the 2 to 3 hours that he was going to spend each week playing flag football and sort of maybe reliving the glory days gone by, he's at home with his family. That is a man's choice. That's a choice of a man right there, a small one, but it makes a huge difference in the lives of those whom he touches. And so that's accepting responsibility. Here's the third element of this definition of an authentic man: to lead courageously. A man is created by God to lead spiritually, to set goals, to give purpose and direction in life. Now, we all have different personalities, and that comes out differently, but that's how what we are called to do. A man is also called to love through compassion and strength, pursuing the wayward. It's a man who goes after that. A man is called to lead, to love, to protect from evil, from danger, from foolish choices. That's why we celebrate police officers and firefighters and those in the military, because they're being men of valor. They're out there protecting. Well, men, we are the police officers and firefighters and military of our homes. We're the watchmen on the wall. We are to serve and to protect those whom we love. And I want to thank you, men, and encourage you, those of you who are leading your families well, or maybe you've done it in the past because your kids are grown now. Way to go. Way to go. Way to step up and be the man that God called you to be, to lead courageously and to set an example for your children and for your wife. Here's the fourth element. So we're rejecting passivity. We're accepting responsibility. We're leading courageously. And we're now we're expecting God's greater reward. Just a couple of Bible verses on this one. First of all, a man who expects God's greater reward doesn't live for the childish impulses within him, okay? He says, no, there's a better way. There's a heavenly reward on its way. If I'll hold out now and do what's right, I'll expect God's greater reward in this life and in the next. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. You take crooked paths, man. Let that be a warning to you and I. If we take crooked paths, we will be found out. Okay? Your sin will find you out. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. This is not in my notes, but this occurred to me. Do you know what I want for my daughters? I want them to grow up and to know what to look for in a man. I don't want them to choose a boy. I want them to choose a man. And I want to live my life in such a way that is full of integrity. God, help me to do that. To be so full of integrity that they say, my daddy wouldn't do that. And I'm going to stay away from that man. Now, kids make their own choices. I understand that. But I want to do everything I can that my daughters look at me, and then they look out there as to what man they're going to marry, and they say, no, he's not good enough for me. I'm a woman of character. I'm a woman who's got a lot of beauty inside, and they don't deserve me. That's what I want. So we need to walk, men, in integrity. And we got to help each other in that. There's tons of temptations out there. But we got to move forward together in this. Okay, that was extra. Now, here's the fourth challenge. Okay, so this is a biblical definition of manhood. We're going to learn more about that in the fall. I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. Okay, so we are being on the alert. We're standing firm in the faith. We are acting like men, and we are being strong. Keep being strong. As we've said, the tendency in our society is for men to relinquish their God-given roles to lead and to become passive. But here's what we really need to do. Guys, we are not to retreat. We are to advance. We are not to step back. We're to step up. We're not to lie down, but we're to rise up. And we're not to roll over. We are to stand strong. God is calling us to do that, to step up and lead our families. If you don't have a family, but to be a man of integrity and to move forward for your future. I'd love to give a word to the women in our midst today. If you are a wife, as I spoke on your behalf earlier, I want to speak on behalf of men in some of your situations. First of all, wives, let your husbands lead. In some homes, encourage him to lead, but in some homes, you want your husband to lead. The moment he tries to make a decision, you jump in and take control. That is so defeating to a man. You want me to lead, but then you take control. What's the use? See, there's the passivity that comes in, okay? Let your husbands lead. Encourage them to do that. Don't step in and take control back. I know that's a hard thing to do, okay? It all goes back to the garden. Men are passive, and women try to step up and take control. We got things all out of whack, okay? Here's the assignment for you women. I gave this to the men on Mother's Day, and men, I hope that you followed through on your assignment to look at your wife in their eyes and tell them one thing about their inner beauty that you admire. If you have not done that yet, get to it, okay? Now, wives, this could even be for daughters, to look at the man who's the significant one in your life, to sit him down and to say to him, something about his, what you admire about his inner character as a husband, as a father, as a man. Build him up. We need that. We get beat down in this world, okay? We need our women, the significant women in our lives, to look at us and say, you're a good man. You're a godly father. Whatever it is, okay? That's your assignment, women, okay? You follow through on that today. Now, a word to our young ladies in the congregation or women who are searching for a husband, whatever your situation is, life. Again, don't look for a boy to marry. Look for a man. Don't look for a man who says he's a Christian. Look for a man who exhibits that he's a Christian, and there's a big difference, okay? That's my fatherly advice to the young women in our midst. Look for a man, not a boy. All right, back to us guys. Now, the danger in a message like this is, oh great, I just went to church and got challenged to do something. I'm all fired up. I'm going to tear the doors off this church and leave. And you run out in the parking lot and you're like, now what? It happens, right? It's like, I'm going to make some changes. Well, help is here. We're all in this together. And so I've been hinting at this throughout the whole message. Here we go. This fall, we're starting a men's ministry called Men's Fraternity. And it's going to start on September 21st. That's a Wednesday. Men's Fraternity, the first session is called The Quest for Authentic Manhood. And the Men's Fraternity is for men, about men, and using language that men understand about men's issues. Calling us up to be men of nobility and honor and strength, no longer acting like boys, but acting like men, just as our verse says, okay? So this fall, starting September 21st on Wednesday mornings, 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., we're going to be in this room. I see some of your heads shaking. Don't do that, okay? It is worth it. I did it last fall. I got up early. About 40 to 50 other guys got up early. And you know when something costs you something, but the value that you get back out of it is worth the sacrifice? Men's Fraternity, okay? That's what it is. And so we're going to have that time on Wednesday mornings, and we're going to move forward together as to what it means to be a godly man. It's worth the sacrifice. Mike Roberts, Mike, put your hand up. This is our men's leader, men's ministry leader. I'm going to be hosting this on Wednesday mornings, and I'm calling each of you to be there, okay? So that you know exactly what this is about, I have a 3.5-minute DVD that gives you an overview of the year. So let's watch this together.
Well, last week we started Men's Fraternity. Got into the starting blocks, on the starting line, and when we did so, I overviewed the year that we were going to have together. And I gave you some presuppositions that would strongly influence the messages that I'm going to be presenting to you. I want to give two of the most important ones just as a reminder. First of all, I said last week, manhood is in a state of confusion today. What I want you guys to recognize is right below the surface of American life is kind of a cauldron of confusion, of men who don't really know what it means to be a man. Well, they know generally kind of how a man acts in certain ways, knows how to make a living, knows he needs to get married, but as far as what it is that's noble and right about a man, substantive in a man's soul, he's lost. And so he kind of catches every little wind that comes through the culture thinking maybe that's what it means to be a man. But there's not anything permanent that can last for a lifetime. I also told you last week that along with that confusion, there is no compelling vision that calls a man up. There are a lot of things, as you guys know, that call a man down. But very few things, especially very few visions that really call a man up to be the kind of man he really needs to be. I also made, as Tim said, a few promises to you last week. I just want to remind you of the 5 promises that I gave to you. First of all, I said that if you could stick with me the whole year, by the time you leave at the end of the year, you would have a clear, compelling definition of what it meant to be a man. I also said that you would have a manhood language that would allow you to converse with other men in this room in a substantive way for your life that would call you up. I told you that if you stuck with me the whole year, you would make some significant discoveries about yourself. And I want you to know the reason I can make that promise is because men who've been with us in Men's Fraternity in the past some of those men have not only made significant discoveries, but some of the most life-changing discoveries of their whole life. According to their wives and friends and family, by the end of the year, they walked out different men and have remained different men, and a much better man at that. And I told you you would make some new friends, because we're all pursuing the same goal, and that is we do want to be a better man, and that's why we're here. And then lastly, I said that if you finish the year, you would leave with your own personal manhood plan for you. That would be your vision for your life. Now, next week, I'm going to hand you out a draft of that plan. We're going to walk through it so you can get underway. But just to let you know, I think that's the most important thing that you will do here in Men's Fraternity for you, is that you will script for yourself a plan, a noble plan that will call you for your own personal life and your own personal situation up. And in the soul of every man, he wants to go up. And that's what we're going to be talking about this year.
So there's a snippet of what Men's Fraternity is about for the whole year. Okay, if you want to know more about that, you can talk to me. Now, if you work at 6 a.m. or 6:30, if you come and talk to us, you want to be part of this, we can maybe start a small group at night that goes through that, okay? So you come and talk to us about that. If you are a guy who has to be at work at 7:30 a.m., you can come for the video portion, and then if you have to leave, you can. But there's a video portion for about 45 minutes, and then we sit around in tables, about six guys, and we discuss the lesson for the day. This is not a pull out your Kleenex and hug each other type thing, okay? So don't worry about that. It's men striving forward together to be the men that God called us to be, okay? So I'm challenging you men. If I could look every one of you in the eyes, I'm saying, will you join me on this quest for authentic manhood? That's your challenge. Stay tuned for more details. Well, we've been challenged today in these different ways from God's Word to be an authentic man. I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to ask Pastor Rob to come up and Pastor Dave, just stand here with me. I want all the men in our worship center today to stand up. If you're a freshman in high school or above, just stand up, and I'm going to pray for you, okay? If you have a man beside you, whoever's standing up, if you're a husband or a wife, a daughter, or a friend, just go ahead and grab his hand as a show of I'm with you in this, okay? I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray together. All-powerful and most holy God, I come to you in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus Christ, to pray for us as men. I pray for the men of this church that in your power, help us to be on the alert against the values of the world and the schemes of the devil, which seek to distract and destroy us against doing your will. Lord God, I pray for the men of this church that by your Holy Spirit, we would stand firm in the faith. Teach us to know your ways, to walk in your truth. Motivate us as fathers and husbands to be the pastors of our homes, leading our wives and children, teaching them to worship and serve you only, obeying your word. I pray, Lord, for the men of this church, that by your strength we would act like men. I humbly ask that we as men would be full of integrity and righteousness and justice and faith, truth, grace, and love. Help us, Lord, to do what is right and to make restitution for our wrongs. Finally, Lord God in heaven, as you are strong, infuse us with your strength to fight against injustice, oppression, and the temptations of the world. Inspire us to take up our swords against evil and to be the warriors in our homes, protecting our wives and children from every kind of danger. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for being a father to the fatherless. I pray for those today who did not have a father figure that was taught them in the right ways. I pray that you would be all of our fathers, but especially those men whose hearts hurt and long for a father. Thank you for your compassion, your discipline, your love and purpose for our lives as men. Now, Lord, as we exit into our battlefield, I pray that you would dress us each day in your battle gear so we might go and show ourselves to be men. And in the strong name of Jesus Christ, all God's men said, amen. And now go, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Happy Father's Day.